Buried in the thick, misty shadows beyond the familiar borders of the material plane lie a series of cursed lands birthed from treacherous acts of villainy, horrors taken shape to form isolated realms ruled by the most unredeemable of evil beings. And now here you stand on the other side of these nightmare mists. Welcome to the world of Ravenloft and its many domains of dread, lands where reality distorts under the weight of corruption, desire, and madness. But fear not, dear traveler, for this series has but one mission, to be your survival guide, an essential companion for anyone navigating these treacherous lands by choice or involuntarily. This is part one of a three-part series, A Traveler's Guide to the Mists of Ravenloft. Today, we will uncover the history, lore, and origins of the Ravenloft setting, both in-game and out, as well as some fundamental truths of these realms that every traveler needs to know in order to survive. In part two, we will focus specifically on Strahd von Zarovich, Castle Ravenloft, and all facets of his own domain of dread, Barovia. From important locations and points of interest to notable figures and even some dark rumors that might aid in your escape. And finally, in part three, we will reach far beyond the mists of Castle Ravenloft to take you on a whirlwind tour of well over 50 domains of dread, not named Barovia, but that each hold fascinating lore, terribly themed horrors, and their own sinister dark lords. So as we embark upon this most perilous of explorations, I ask you to have an open mind, but more importantly, steel your resolve and bolster your courage. You're going to need them both, along with the knowledge included in this historical tome. With it, you just might live to tell the tale of all you will soon witness. The fog had been strange, thicker than usual. It had rolled in quickly, a dense wall of gray swallowing up the familiar sights of the dock ward and the bustle of water-deep streets. It clung to the air like a living thing, tendrils of mist curling between the buildings as if searching for something. You had barely thought twice about it, your mind preoccupied with finding the Black Star Inn. A bed and a warm meal had been all you wanted after a long day of travel. You take a deep breath, but it catches in your throat. The air is colder than it should be, and heavy, so thick with moisture, it feels as if you're breathing through wet cloth. Around you, the mist press in close, swirling and shifting with almost deliberate intent, making it impossible to see more than a few paces in any direction. Gone is the ever-present clatter of Waterdeep's dock workers, only an eerie quiet broken occasionally by a distant rustling that makes your pulse quicken. You try and gain your bearings, but the fog wraps itself around you tight, impenetrable, choking off every landmark, every familiar sight. Where am I? You now wonder if there hadn't been something more to that fog, a warning perhaps, or a trap. And then you see it. As the thick clouds part only slightly, revealing the pale glow of a full moon, a towering structure emerges, half shrouded by the mist. Its Gothic spires rise like the claws of some great beast, perched high atop a cliff that overlooks a small valley, a village, swallowed by its ominous shadow. The castle looms like an apex predator, watching, waiting. You swallow hard, your mouth dry. This isn't Waterdeep. The realization comes slowly, its cold logic sinking deep into your bones. You've been taken somewhere, somewhere far removed from the familiarity of the Sword Coast. And you don't need to know your exact location to know you're now in danger. This is no ordinary castle. This is something sinister. Your stomach churns with unease, the first symptom of a building dread. You've heard the tavern tales of such places, whispered by travelers late at night over a warm fire, stories of lands beyond the reach of Faerun, of places ruled by darkness and despair. But those were just stories. Bedtime tales to scare children, weren't they? You chuckle nervously, the sound hollow in the heavy air. What did I do, step into the realm of Dracula? The words are meant to break the tension, to reassure yourself that this is all just a strange dream. But the moment they leave your lips, something shifts in the mist behind you. A sound, laughter, low, throaty, and mocking. Your blood runs cold. Those mists responding as if to confirm your worst fears. You spin around, but there's no one there, only the swirling fog. Yet the laughter lingers, echoing in the back of your mind. You take a step back, your heart hammering in your chest, but there's nowhere to go. The fog is everywhere surrounding you. Panic tears into each of your senses, and for a moment, all you can do is stand there, frozen in fear. Then, slowly, you force yourself to move, to process, to think. Get a hold of yourself. Your mind races. Okay, now think. What did you bring with you? Your hands fumble through your pack, your mind racing as you search for something, anything that might make sense of this unwaking nightmare. Your fingers brush up against something familiar, leather, a tome. You pull it free, your eyes scanning the cover, even as your mind screams that this cannot be happening. The Traveler's Guide to the Mists of Ravenloft, Volume 1. Huh, the gift from Candlekeep. You thought nothing of it at the time. You'd accepted it as a polite formality, a curiosity passed on after one too many conversations about strange places and even stranger rumors. It seemed harmless at the time, just an odd little book about a mythical land of mists and monsters. But now, as you stare at the uncanny title, a mix of anxiety and fear pools in your stomach. Could it be true? Could you really be in Ravenloft? Your hands begin to tremble as you open the book. The pages are old, the ink faded, but the words are unmistakable. Dedicated to travelers who find themselves lost in the mist, heed this warning. You have crossed into a land of despair. The domains of dread are ruled by the whims of dark lords, and none who enter may leave without their permission. Beware the mists, for they are the chains that bind, and the answer to the dark powers alone. Your breath is broken as you read the passage. Domains of dread, dark powers, dark lords. These aren't just fairy tales spun by overzealous scholars. This place, it's real. And now, I'm in it. Your gaze flickers back up to the ominous castle, its presence weighing on you even from this distance. Barovia, that's the name that surfaces in your mind, pulled from the deepest recesses of your now fragmenting memories. A land ruled by a fabled vampire lord. Strahd. You flip through the pages of the book frantically, confirming your guess. The text offers another grim warning. The mists serve the dark powers, offering no escape. They can lead you to safety or drag you deeper into darkness, depending upon their whim. Trust nothing and no one, for the land itself conspires against you. A chill runs down your spine. No escape. The words echo in your mind. You are trapped in Barovia, a land ruled only by darkness and death. This has to be a dream, a trick of the mind. But in the pit of your stomach, you already know the answer. You close the book with a snap, your hands still shaking. The sinister laugh from the mist seems louder now, but your head is reeling and you can no longer tell if it's real or it's just in your mind. Nonetheless, it mocks you, as if it knows what you've just read, as if it takes pleasure in your growing terror. You clutch the book tightly as though its worn pages might somehow protect you. You are lost in a domain of dread, with only the faint hope that this book, or sheer luck, might help you survive and find a way home. You glance toward that distant village, resting in the shadowed valley of those gothic spires. With a deep breath, you take your first step forward. You are alone in a realm you barely understand, with only this dusty old tome for guidance. And somewhere, up in that foreboding castle, the vampire lord, Strahd, watches, waiting for you. If you enjoy and or find any value in these long-form lore essays, please consider showing your support over on my Patreon, where I have an ever-growing collection of lore art and world-building resources to populate and enhance your adventures and campaigns. You can check it all out and join for free with zero obligation. You don't have to spend a dime unless you want to. Links are below, and a sincere thank you to my supporters that make this video possible. Greetings, lost traveler. It seems you may have found yourself ensnared by the ever-clinging mists of Barovia. So welcome to the mother of all sadistic tourist traps, Ravenloft. I know this by the tome's enchantment. Well, That and the notion that you're now reading my words from this handy travel guide, suggesting that the mists of Ravenloft may have already found you, or perhaps they soon will. But this is both a blessing as well as a curse. A blessing because, well, you now have in your hands perhaps the only thing in this forsaken realm that will give you the slightest chance of survival. A curse, however, because, well, you've now found yourself trapped in one of the most dangerous places in all the multiverse. A domain ruled by darkness and evil, engulfed in mists that seek to forever imprison wayward souls. A realm where time folds onto itself, and where escape is often impossible. Yes, indeed, the goddess of luck, Timora, has not yet seen to grace you with her blessings. But let's look on the bright side. It would surely be far more unfortunate did you not possess my words of wisdom and the critical knowledge they hold upon these pages. Without them, your only company would be those mists and maybe a Dark Lord, and I assure you, they are far less charitable than I. Ah, but where are my manners? Introductions are in order. I am Quillen Inkwell, veteran scribe formerly of the Royal Historical Office of Cormyr, and you are now lost in the mists of Ravenloft. Whether you are a visitor by choice, which would make you a bit of a fool, you simply wandered into the mist by accident or were lured here by fate, matters very little now because you are here, standing on the other side of Ravenloft's sinister mists and within the borders of Barovia, one of its many domains of dread. But don't blame yourself, unless you are here by choice. These strange, unnatural mists have a disturbing habit of abducting travelers, such as yourself, and if you're reading this, it's most likely too late to turn back. You've been chosen by the mists, though I doubt you'll be sending them a thank you note anytime soon. But do not despair, my planar pioneer. As a scholar of these mists for many decades, the words I have inked upon this arcane survival guide are sure to prove invaluable in your efforts to return home safely, only increasing your already diminished odds of survival. Have I myself walked among the haunted roads and gothic mists of these domains of dread, I hear you ask? Why no, I am neither insane nor have a death wish. Apologies, a little gallows humor there. Regardless, you are here now, and the wisdom and knowledge I have gathered just might keep you alive. Do not mistake my writings as a collection of tavern tales. The following is a serious lifeline of guidance for those who find themselves exploring a most perilous unknown. By understanding the many forces at play, I will equip you with the most powerful tool against the encroaching darkness. Yes, yes, of course, swords, magic, and courage are all necessary for survival. You won't get very far trying to beat a werewolf over the snout with this tome. But your most critical asset is knowledge, and this compendium aims to illuminate those darkest corners, offering insights to help you make it home and live to tell this tale. But enough of my rambling. Where do we begin? There is so much to cover. But since you're likely not leaving this place anytime soon, let's start at the beginning with a little history. Ah, you've made it to Chapter 3. Fate smiles upon you, my new friend. Every moment you remain alive in Ravenloft should be counted as a not-so-small victory. And if you're reading these words, then one can only assume you are still alive. Which is more than can be said for some of the residents here. A little undead joke to add some levity to your truly dire situation. But let's not dwell on all that just yet. Instead, let us both hope, for your sake anyway, that you have endeavored to find a safe location, away from the eyes that spy and the many terrors that likely are or will soon be hunting you before you continue to turn these pages. Now, assuming you are safe, I will start by first recounting the history of how this accursed domain came to be. The origins of Ravenloft, from both the magicless, mundane world of the real and the many alternate worlds and realities across the multiverse. Now, before we start, you should be made aware that Ravenloft is a land where nothing stays the same for long, least of all its own history, as strange as that may sound. You've likely heard conflicting whispers, rumors, and half-truths about these accursed lands, and I regret to say that many of them are in fact true. Ravenloft's origins, its geography, and even the very nature of its domains have shifted as often as the mists themselves. But worry not. Consider this tome your survival guide, a companion to help you understand how this world has evolved and what you might expect as you wander across its treacherous lands. Let me clarify something right at the outset. The Ravenloft you encounter today is not the Ravenloft of yesteryear. This world has seen many changes across the various editions of lore, and many of those changes are, shall we say, less than consistent. Some domains have shifted in form, coalescing with or even absorbed into neighboring realms, while others have simply vanished, their Dark Lords rewritten or lost to the void of time. The origins of the land itself have been retold, revised, and in some cases outright retconned, that delightful term used when the past is rewritten to suit the present. Some say this is nothing more than a case of mortal hubris and error on the part of authors such as myself, yet others insist it is the pervasive, sinister magic of the dark powers themselves. So if you begin to feel a sense of disorientation as you try to piece together all that I share with you in the coming chapters, know that you are not alone. Even the most seasoned scholars have been left scratching their heads on more than one occasion. And these terms I use so liberally, domain, dark lord, and dark powers, they may also be a bit confusing, but worry not, I will explain it all to you over the course of the pages to come. The vast majority of the conflicts and contradictions to Ravenloft's own history emerged in the wake of an event called the Spell Plague of 1385 Dale Reckoning, in the timeline of your Forgotten Realms, a realm-wide disaster that caused the very fabric of the multiverse to bend and tear. There are many accounts of the Spell Plague, its effects, and even its conspiracies written elsewhere, so I will spare you from those retellings. Ravenloft and its many associated domains of dread, which had previously existed as a single contiguous demiplane or pocket dimension floating in the ethereal, was suddenly and without warning ripped from its moorings and unceremoniously deposited into the newly formed Shadowfell by way of the dark goddess Shar. This dramatic shift, as you might imagine, caused no small amount of chaos and contradiction across much of the known history of Ravenloft. So, to make sense of this ever-shifting landscape, we will on occasion divide Ravenloft's history into two distinct timelines. The original pre-Shadowfell era, which loosely covers the lore from Ravenloft's initial inception in the first edition of our lore, all the way through the end of the 3rd and 3.5 editions. And the post-Shadowfell timeline of the 4th edition of our lore and beyond, all the way up to the most modern-day text. The ugliness of this incompatibility will be most visible as we discuss the concepts of intra-domain travel, portions of the Barovian origins, and discussion on aspects of the domains and their Dark Lords that have seen change in the post-Shadowfell era. So while our lore discussion will often default to the modern-day text, I will do my level best to clearly delineate and highlight changes from the older lore where possible as we move forward. So settle in, safety first, then turn the page, my intrepid wanderer. We begin on that mundane plane of the real world in the late 1970s and early 1980s, when two married mortals, Tracy and Laura Hickman, set in motion the creation of the very domain you now find yourself trapped within, and it all started as a casual homebrew. That's right. Long before the mist claimed you and countless others, Ravenloft was merely a side project meant to enhance the worlds and enjoyment of friends and family. Dungeon masters and writers of some renown themselves, the Hickmans are, along with New York Times best-selling author Margaret Weis, best known as having birthed the Dragonlance series of novels. But one evening, in the flickering candlelight of their own gaming table, the Hickmans found themselves growing weary of the typical dungeon crawls. Hack, slash, find treasure, sell, rinse and repeat, which to be fair was the tabletop gaming trend at the time. What they craved was something darker, something gothic, something more atmospheric with layered narratives, and thus the earliest seeds of Ravenloft were sown. The result of their efforts arrived a few years later as the legendary adventure module I6 Ravenloft, published in 1983. This was the very first step into the swirling mists of Barovia. Unlike many of the adventure modules that came before, Ravenloft was not primarily about delving deep into underground mazes filled with mindless monsters that spawned from the early wargaming roots that formed Dungeons & Dragons. And while there is nothing wrong with straight dungeon crawls, they are an excellent facet of the hobby. Still, Ravenloft brought something new in complex layers and diverse playstyles to the world of Dungeons & Dragons. Ravenloft was dripping an atmosphere above all else. It was about fear of the unknown. It was about the horrors to come. It was about a vampire lord named Strahd von Zarovich and his own personal tragedies. A villain cursed by his own dark, unchecked desires and his ruling of a new land as broken and tormented as his soul. Sound familiar? It should, you know, since you're living it now. And the success of that first Ravenloft module was most profound. The module's reception was so positive that it inspired a 1986 follow-up, Adventure Module I-10 Ravenloft 2, The House on Griffin Hill. And then in 1990 came the Realm of Terror box set, fondly referred to by fans as the Black Box, which provided the foundational campaign setting from which new domains could spawn and cementing Ravenloft's place as a core part of the Dungeons & Dragons mythos. But Ravenloft was not created out of thin air. The setting's creation was inspired, just like every author that has ever existed, by great works of those that preceded them. The very bones of Ravenloft are built upon the literary works of some of the greatest minds in all of horror and gothic literature. Bram Stoker, Mary Shelley, Edgar Allan Poe. For those that have felt their blood run cold while exploring the halls of a gothic castle or wandering the fog-choked streets of a Transylvanian-like setting, that is because they were walking through worlds shaped by the same fears conceived by some of the most legendary of 19th-century authors. The obsession of dark romance and gothic horror that inspired Dracula and Van Helsing, the ambition, isolation, and guilt embodied in the over 2-century-old pages of Frankenstein, and the paranoia and fragility of the human mind found in the 1843 short story The Telltale Heart. Through those and many other masterworks, Ravenloft would find a foundational foothold on its own signature gothic aesthetic, tragedy, fate, and the corrupting nature of unbridled obsession. This is where Barovia, the very Van Helsing-like setting of that first adventure, secured its roots. And yet, as the mist spread from those humble beginnings, so too did Ravenloft's horrors evolve. While the gothic horror of Barovia remains at the heart of the setting and Ravenloft's most popular of domains, new lands would emerge, each domain of dread reflecting a different type of themed horror or torment. The cosmic horror of H.P. Lovecraft, for example, would find its way into domains like Bluetspur, where mind flayers and other aberrations from beyond the stars dwell. Ancient Egyptian horrors inspired by works such as Arthur Conan Doyle's Ring of Thoth would find their way into domains such as Harakir. Even time capsules such as the folk horror tales of the Salem Witch Trials, Midsommar, or The Wicker Man can be found in the domain of dread called Tempest, and which I bring up now is one of the many domains that have seen change in their post-spell plague updates. That is not to say all change is bad, but changes are evident nonetheless. In each of these non-Barovian examples, among literally dozens more, the terror is not found in vampires or werewolves, but in the fracturing of minds and broken realities, ancient Egyptian curses, and creepy blood traditions and superstition. Ravenloft and the dark powers that are presumed to have created the realms are not content with a single type of horror. No, they have prepared a proverbial all-you-can-eat horror buffet of nightmares, each more deliciously terrifying than the last. So, dear Voyager, as you continue your journey through these mists, remember this. Ravenloft was born from the minds of mortals, but it has grown into something far greater, far more terrible, and far beyond their control. And now, as you wander through these cursed lands, you are part of that story. Your fate, like so many others before you, is now in the hands of the dark powers. May the gods, if they can even reach you here, have mercy on your soul. Brace yourself, traveler, for the mists are thick, and the horrors they conceal are many. Welcome back, traveler. Now, where were we? Ah, yes, let's begin with a discussion of the 3Ds. Or is it 4? No matter. I am, of course, referring to the Domains of Dread, the Dark Lords, and the dark powers, for each plays a starring role in your fate, whatever it may be. It's a grim subject, to be sure, but better to face the terrors that lie ahead armed with facts than to stumble blindly into your doom, no? First things first, what exactly are the Domains of Dread? Imagine a collection of well over 50 distinct realms, each cursed, full of perpetual nightmares, and ruled by a tyrant of unparalleled evil known as a Dark Lord. These are the Domains of Dread, and you now find yourself in perhaps the deadliest of them all, Barovia, domain of the vampire lord Strahd von Zarovich. Best to keep your neck covered if you catch my meaning. But this is where things get really interesting. Well, interesting for me anyway. For you, well, you should be terrified. You see, each of these Domains of Dread are in fact prison realms, a not-so-hidden secret among scholars but eerily unknown to the Dark Lords themselves. Prisons not designed for you, although admittedly you certainly seem imprisoned all the same, but a prison for the very Dark Lord that rules the realm with what each believes is their own ultimate authority. In what can only be described as both a form of poetic tragedy and evil genius, the ruling Dark Lords don't even realize they are prisoners. Each Domain of Dread has been handcrafted through godlike powers to become an isolated demiplane unto itself and a reflection of its Dark Lord ruler. A realm whose landscape, even its people and weather, are a warped mirror of the Dark Lord's sins, desires, torments, and the curse they will now bear for all eternity. This darkly twisted scenario means that while each Dark Lord is the absolute ruler of their respective domain, they are also bound within it, with no hope of escape. One obvious question revolves around each Dark Lord's status as both the ruler of and a prisoner to their own realm. And you might be asking, how can this be? And this is where we pull back the veil, if only a little, and discuss the real puppet masters of Ravenloft, the Dark Powers. They are not gods to be placated, nor are they fiends to be bargained with. They are something else entirely, something unknown, and likely far worse. And while it may come as a surprise to learn that the Dark Lords are unaware that they are inmates of their own prison, it does speak volumes of the dark manipulation and genius design at work. Still, it's hard to not be impressed with the level of mastery these cosmic jailers have displayed over the dozens upon dozens of unredeemable Dark Lords who are oblivious to the unseen manipulation that guide their every action. With godlike powers, they have crafted a clever facade, a veil of control that allows the Dark Lords to believe they are the unfettered authority of their domains, when in reality they are as much a prisoner as the peasant who tills the cursed soil beneath their feet. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, how can they not see it? How can they not know that they are imprisoned? All the signs are plainly obvious. But herein lies the true genius of the Dark Powers' design and the depths of their influence. It's not that the Dark Lords don't realize they've never left their realm. Maybe a few Dark Lords even sense that something is off and isn't quite right. They can't leave their domain no matter how hard they seem to try. However, their minds have been distorted by the Dark Powers so thoroughly that they rationalize away these obvious red flags. The control exerted over their own will makes the logical seem rational and the insane seem plausible. They might convince themselves, aided by the malevolent magic of the curse they now bear, that they have chosen to stay and rule their lands out of duty, or that one of the many ongoing and eternal conflicts taking place in their realm prevents their departure. They will tell themselves lie after lie, rationalizing their inability to leave their own borders as their decision, an illusion of free will, while never suspecting that a power much greater than themselves is actually pulling the strings. In many ways, it's not unlike a cult member who has been brainwashed. The Dark Lords have been conditioned through very powerful and ancient magic to believe in their own delusions. It's a brilliant bit of psychological horror when you think about it. The Dark Lords are imprisoned not just physically, but mentally as well, their minds warped in such a way that they will never even suspect the true nature of their confinement. And to maintain this elaborate veil of free will, the Dark Powers have many tools at their disposal. They are masters of altering memories. A Dark Lord might remember events differently from how they actually occurred, or they might even forget certain key details entirely. And if that weren't enough, the Dark Powers are experts at playing upon character flaws. A Dark Lord's arrogance, greed, or obsession can each be leveraged in the grand manipulation. Consider Lord Wilfred Goodfrow of the Domain of Dread, known as Morden. His arrogance and guilt over the murder of his wife and daughter have been corrupted into his curse, his eternal punishment. He believes he stays in Morden to maintain control over his land and to atone for his sins, but the truth is that he is bound there by forces far beyond his understanding. The Dark Powers have ensured that Lord Goodfrow will never escape his torment, and yet he will never understand why. And my friend, if a Dark Lord ruler of a Domain of Dread is unable to free himself, you can surely see the challenge that lies ahead in your hopes of escape. No? And we have not yet begun to discuss the Borders. Indeed, the Borders are a particularly nasty piece of work. Each Dark Lord can seal them at will. In Barovia, Strahd's Borders manifest as impenetrable mists. Other domains get even more creative. Walls of fire, bottomless chasms, and in Harakir, savage sandstorms that would strip the flesh from your bones. I do apologize if you happen to be eating while reading this. So what does all this mean for you, my wayward explorer? It means that you are trapped in a prison of someone else's making, but trapped nonetheless. So if you are trying to escape a domain and suddenly find yourself staring at an ethereal void or a bottomless abyss, now you know you have encountered a closed border, and your chances of survival have just plummeted towards something approaching zero. But perhaps there is some solace to be taken in that you're not alone. The native people who live out their lives in these domains are prisoners too, although they are clueless to this fact. They go about their daily lives, ignorant of the fact that they are trapped in a prison of their Dark Lord's making. They toil in the fields, pray to gods who cannot hear them, and live in fear of the night, when the true horrors of their realm emerge. For them, there is no escape, there is no salvation, there is only the dread that awaits, and you are now counted among them. In the end, the Dark Power's influence is everywhere across Ravenloft, shaping the land, its people, and its rulers. They are the unseen hands that pull the strings, and while the Dark Lords may believe they are in control, the truth is actually far more sinister. And you, my friend, like it or not, are now part of this distorted game. Whether you survive or succumb to the Dark Power's cruel designs is a question only time and the mist can answer. It may be of little comfort, but take some solace in this. While the Dark Lords may be powerful, they are not invincible. They are prisoners, just like you. And who exactly are the Dark Powers, I hear you ask? Well, that is a question that has puzzled scholars, sages, mystics, and desperate souls for countless centuries. Much like the mists that swirl around you now, the Dark Powers have an obscure history, full of contradiction and confusion, but that is at least partially by design. The origin lore of the Dark Powers has intentionally left their identity vague. Even their nature is left deliberately ambiguous in order to create and preserve the atmospheric allure of horror and dread that defines the Ravenloft setting. That said, there is no shortage of rumor, speculation, and even a few facts available for us to mine, so nothing is stopping us from performing a bit of theory crafting in an effort to untangle at least some of the uncertainty so that you are armed with the knowledge needed to understand and perhaps even survive all that you are up against. The Dark Powers, as best I can describe them, are mysterious cosmic wardens, set on removing the most unredeemable of evils from the material plane, and they seemingly take no small amount of depraved pleasure in doing so. But the truth is, in many ways, the Dark Powers aren't really beings at all, at least not in any way us mortals can hope to understand. They have no names, they take on no defined forms, and they exist as no set number or quantity. They're not deities in any traditional sense. They are not worshipped, they do not answer prayers, nor do they manifest themselves for mortal witness. They are, as far as most scholars can say, nothing more than a nebulous and omnipresent force, whose torments of the Dark Lords lie somewhere between a form of perverse justice and sadistic amusement. Some scholars argue that they are eldritch forces from far beyond the veil of reality, while others insist they are holdover primordial entities from the Dawn War. There are even those who posit the dark powers are the remnants of ancient gods, now fallen and forgotten. Judging from their known actions, I suspect they are simply cruel cosmic children with far too much time on their hands and powers at their disposal, and we are merely their playthings. They toy with mortals and the Dark Lords as a bored house cat might torment a mouse. What we do know for certain is that their influence, while limited to these domains of dread, is absolute, and no one, not even the feared Dark Lords, can escape their grasp. With one exception, but I'll save that for another volume. However, one facet of the lore that must be cleared up before we can move on is the confusion that often surrounds these dark powers and other powerful entities known as vestiges. This confusion continually conflates the two as one and the same, even going so far as to intimate that, at least in the case of the Dark Lord Strahd, that he made his pact with the dark powers, which is an easy conclusion to arrive at, but is nonetheless incorrect. We will explore what is known and unknown specific to the Dark Pact made, as well as the evolving relationships and interplay of Strahd, the Dark Powers, and these vestiges in Volume 2, where it's going to be most relevant, since the next volume is dedicated to uncovering every facet of Barovia and the Curse of Strahd. For this first volume, there are a few important need-to-know takeaways that we can highlight. It's been established that the Dark Powers were designed as unknowable entities, and that each Dark Lord is generally unaware of their existence. We also know that the Dark Powers created these Domains of Dread as prison realms to incarcerate and torment evil powers. This is a theme that has been maintained throughout Ravenloft's storied history. And the lore has clearly conveyed that the Dark Powers both rewarded and punished each Dark Lord with their curse, ultimately teasing them with powers, but also forever denying them their deepest desires. This was all very much an intended play upon the Greek mythology of King Tantalus, who was eternally cursed to stand in a pool of cool drinking water while a fruit tree with low branches hung just above the king's head. Forever dying of thirst and starving, the waters would recede and the fruit recoil just out of his reach. Fun fact, the cursed king's name, Tantalus, is where the English word tantalize originates. The fourth edition of our lore, which incidentally is the only edition of Dungeons & Dragons not to launch any dedicated resources on Ravenloft, largely maintained the core concept from this earlier lore. It was not until the fifth edition that we started to see some new lore concepts, such as the vestiges of the Amber Temple, intimating clearly, at least in my opinion, that the Dark Powers were never meant to be seen or interacted with, certainly not by the Dark Lords, although many Dungeon Masters and World Builders have used the obscurity to build their own headcanon, lore, and even adventure hooks, which is not only an exceptional way to address the vagueness, but was exactly the design intent. So while there are conflicts in the lore, specific to events leading to Strahd's transformation into a vampire, as well as some history of Barovia, they are mostly inconsequential to the greater themes of Ravenloft. However, they are still worth discussing because, well, they're interesting. Aspects such as the Turg invasion of 320, the true origins of Castle Ravenloft, or who actually killed the mortal Strahd just before he rose as a vampire, his own guards, or a betrayer from another house. So expect us to examine all of these and a lot more in Volume 2. Until then, all that is important to know is that for all intents and purposes, Strahd von Zarovich, nor any Dark Lord for that matter, has knowledge or even the concept of the Dark Power's existence. This is pretty solid canon across all editions of lore. And most importantly, at least according to the canon within the 5e texts, the Dark Powers did not grant Strahd his immortality as a vampire. That sinister gift was provided by a vestige that is known as Vampyr. And while the vestiges were not known in the lore prior to 5e, I personally still strongly believe that this applies across all versions. the 5e lore, specifically the Curse of Strahd 2016 adventure, just revealed some previous unknowns, but your mileage may vary. However, the Dark Powers are responsible for Strahd's imprisonment within his own Demi plane, following his actions during Barovia's version of the Red Wedding Massacre. This clearly implies to me that some connective tissue exists between the Dark Powers and the Vestiges, but there's plenty of room here for your own interpretation. Most of our discoveries today have been in the context of Barovia, with its dark forests, werewolves, gothic castles, and ever-present fog. But remember, this is just one of many dozens of Domains of Dread, each providing its own vastly different thematic horrors that we will explore in later volumes. Some domains are vast, sprawling nations, while others are little more than a single haunted manor or just a cursed village. Yet, no matter how large or small, each domain remains a prison, and the Dark Lord its most unwitting inmate. But don't let that fool you. That doesn't mean the Dark Powers are not aware of or won't turn their gaze upon you at some point. You must always remember that you're nothing more than a pawn in the Dark Powers' game, a source of its truculent and cruel entertainment. You are back, mighty traveler of the mist, so live and kicking, and still clutching this guide, I see. Wise choice. Now, unless you foolishly sought out this nightmare realm, you might be wondering, how did I get here, and more importantly, how do I leave? And yes, that is the million gold piece question. The answer, I'm afraid, is rather bleak. The mist likely brought you here for reasons only they know, and they are not sharing. And when I say they, I really mean the Dark Powers, who are notoriously uncooperative when it comes to return trips. Teleportation magic? Useless. Plane shifting? Don't even think about it. Why, even the mighty wish spell, which can bend reality upon itself, is twisted into something sinister by the Dark Powers, making it impotent to aid your escape in any meaningful way. Still, all hope is not lost. Well, not entirely anyway. We've covered a lot so far in this first volume, but odds are you're still trapped in these dreaded domains. As you find yourself wandering these lands, clinging to this guide in hopes of a way home, let me enlighten you on the oddities of travel within the Domains of Dread. Travel here is no longer a simple matter of moving from point A to point B. It's actually a perilous dance with unseen forces that delight in making your life considerably more complicated, all geared towards extending your stay. First, let's talk about how you can traverse from one Domain of Dread into another, what we call intra-domain travel. In the early days of Ravenloft, that is the pre-Shadowfell era, the sum of all domains were quaintly nestled within the ethereal as a single, mostly contiguous landmass. In this earliest configuration, domains were divided only by their natural geographic borders, rather than any supernatural barriers that exist today. However, with the launch of the 4th edition lore, the landscape shifted quite literally with the entirety of the Domains of Dread relocated into the Shadowfell, the reformed and enhanced plane of shadow created by the Dark God Ashar. One of the more significant implications of this post-Shadowfell era, unfortunately for you, are the impacts to intra-domain travel. Each domain is now an isolated, self-contained realm, shrouded in their own border mists that prevent access to neighboring domains or other planes without special means, which I'll cover here in a moment. To help navigate these treacherous barriers, explorers and sages of the 5th edition lore did discover artifacts that we now call mist talismans, which have been documented in the 5e resource Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. These semi-rare, non-magical objects resonate with the essence of a specific domain from which they originate, acting as lodestones to guide travelers through the mists and towards that domain. Each talisman is a unique, one-of-a-kind artifact that is tied intimately to the theme of that domain, and this talisman can take on almost any form. For instance, you might find a stuffed animal with blood-stained fur, a special prize from the arcade games within the Carnival of Fear, or a masquerade mask from the decadent balls of Daemon Leu. The talisman might take the form of a hieroglyphic-inscribed artifact or scroll from the ancient sands of Harakir, or even an alien brain implant serving as both a missed talisman and a delightfully gruesome souvenir. In a method not too dissimilar from the old dowsing rods, by holding a talisman and focusing on its origin, a traveler can navigate the mist toward the originating domain. Even your companions who willingly follow the bearer are also guided safely through the mists. Mostly. However, be warned, these talismans, like everything in Ravenloft, are far from foolproof. If a domain's borders have been closed by the ruling Dark Lord, passage is anything but guaranteed, and the consequences of testing the patience of a Dark Lord, or worse, the Dark Powers, can be most dire. Should you find yourself without a talisman, you do have other limited options. You might consider seeking the aid of the Vistani, the nomadic wanderers who seem to have a special connection with the mists. Vistani shaman, with their closely guarded rituals, can navigate between domains and even other planes. Their mastery of such mysticism makes them invaluable guides, although engaging the Vistani is often a difficult task. In addition to leaning into evil alignment, the Vistani are also very guarded and suspicious of outlanders such as yourself, and further, many of them are loyal to the Dark Lords. However, if you are able to secure their services, they are worth it, but know that they will come at a very steep cost. If all else fails, you might be lucky enough to hit the cosmic lottery and stumble upon the World Serpent Inn, a curious establishment that might just offer a rare opportunity for escape. This plane-hopping inn exists on its own demiplane and serves as a nexus where realities converge. Time does not pass within its walls, and visitors do not age, though hunger and thirst remain your ever-present companions. They have to make a living. The inn is even protected by charms and wards that make combat difficult and promote healing, though magic is somewhat tricky to wield here. The inn operates under its own set of rules. The food is free, but the drinks are not. But most important to you, dear traveler, are the portals to various locations across different planes and realities that exist in the back room of the inn. This cosmic portal room to the multiverse is an ever-shifting and twisting chamber designed to prevent any single entity from gaining control over the inn's secrets. If the fates smile upon you, the World Serpent Inn may provide you a means to slip through these mists and into another realm entirely, maybe even home. You should also know that the inn only appears at sundown and vanishes at the crack of dawn, destined for another plane of existence. So, as you ponder all these travel options and consider your next move, remember that in Ravenloft, nothing is ever straightforward. So if you happen to stumble upon an out-of-place inn in your travels, do not pass it by. It may just prove to be your salvation from this nightmare expedition. Well, my friend, you've made it this far, so perhaps your fate's not sealed after all. So as we near the end of this Volume 1 travel guide, and I do hope you brought Volume 2 with you as well, let me share a few more need-to-knows within the realms of Ravenloft that may well save your life. We shall start with the concepts of date and time, which are most likely a little different from wherever you call home. The Barovian calendar is the standard timekeeping system across most of these dread domains, with the notable exception of Falconovia, a domain that has far more pressing concerns than marking the passage of days. Much like the calendars of your world before the mists claimed you, the Barovian calendar, or BC, consists of 365 days, divided into 12 lunar cycles, or what you might call months. And as for the current day, you now stand in Ravenloft in 774 BC, which will likely mark your death or triumphant escape. Now, you might be asking how this aligns to the more familiar Dale Reckoning calendar of the Forgotten Realms. And that's where things become frustratingly ambiguous. While both systems do share a very similar calendaring structure, Ravenloft's time is notoriously slippery. This time distortion has real effects on both inhabitants and visitors. A day in Ravenloft might stretch into weeks or months in Faerun, or a single week in your home realm might span years in these lands. Most likely a deliberate effect by the dark powers, it nonetheless causes any attempts to create a direct conversion between the two calendars to be nothing more than an exercise in frustration. Now, it is likely a safe bet that you already had some prior knowledge of Barovia and its infamous vampire, Strahd von Zarovich, as this Transylvanian-like realm is far and away the most popular of the Domains of Dread. As I have alluded, Barovia is only the opening act to these realms of terror. The Domains of Dread stretch far and wide beyond Barovia, each with its own Dark Lord and signature brand of horrors. In later volumes, we will cautiously explore Falkovnia, where General Vladeska Drakov's iron grip suffocates the land under the relentless horror of endless undead hordes as their hunger ravages the lands. Crumbling cities lie in red-stained ruins, the survivors under the pall of fear and totalitarian oppression as the citizens still breathing are forced into brutal labor, constructing fortifications while paranoia festers and trust dies. Falkovnia is a domain where every dawn brings new dread, and its very existence teeters on the brink of eternal night. We will visit Haslan, a domain where arcane tyranny reigns supreme, ruled by its Dark Lord, Hazlik, a sinister but powerful wizard who was raised among the Red Wizards of Thay. This realm is a sprawling arcane nightmare where wild magic tears apart the land and reality in equal parts, and where the grotesque abominations of unholy and dark magics roam a landscape that has been scarred by unchecked powers. Our tour will take us to Icath, a domain that exists within a surreal labyrinth of dreams, ruled by a merciless and cruel empress. In this realm, its citizens are trapped in a cycle of alternate reality, endlessly laboring to perfect a city that blurs nightmare and illusion. If you are more of the outdoorsy type, there are the beautiful and deadly jungles of Valishan, ruled by its own savage Dark Lord, the female werepanther, Chakuna. The apex predator of this realm, her obsession with wild hunts, is never sated. Valishan is a domain of untamed wilderness, her own deadly arena of traps and treachery, where conscripted hunters and victims must battle for survival. And then there is perhaps the strangest domain of all, Chlor, a domain we would be wise to watch only from a distance. Chlor is a realm caught in a perpetual cycle of apocalyptic endgames. Here, time relentlessly ticks, counting down as each of 13 orbiting worlds die in a fiery oblivion. The lore of this domain will be most interesting for us to break down. In the 5th edition version of the domain, Chlor is the burning star that is the destroyer of worlds and its Dark Lord. But this is a conceptual reimagining, formed and bound by a fascinating and sinister legacy from the earliest lore of Ravenloft. A callback of sorts to the Clockmaker, an arcane walker of the plains, and the cursed timepiece he created. Its 13 hands spin eternally, each now representing one of the doomed worlds drawn into eternal flame. And still, we have barely even mentioned a fraction of the many compelling and distinctly themed domains that we will cover in later volumes, each garnering knowledge that may serve you well in your travels and attempts to escape the mists of Ravenloft. And since you will likely be traveling across many different domains in your effort to find a way home, in future volumes we will need to acclimate you to some of the general customs and cultures you may soon experience. Remember, these domains of dread are worlds unto themselves, each with its own customs, traditions, and in many cases even currencies. Coins that jingle in your pocket in Barovia may be worthless in the Hunger Games-inspired world that is Valachon. So here you stand, at the end of this volume and at the gates of Barovia. I must warn you, the real challenge of your survival is only just now beginning. Barovia is no ordinary destination, no ordinary domain, and its master, Strahd von Zarovich, is no ordinary Dark Lord. If you thought the mists themselves were merciless, just wait until you've walked the haunted roads, braved the direwolf-infested forests, or may your gods watch over you should you breach the gothic walls of Castle Ravenloft. This Dracula-inspired domain of dread, as you will soon discover, is a land where the sun is nothing more than a pale ghost, and its people live in perpetual fear of a vampire lord that they call the devil himself, something that the actual ruler of the Nine Hells might take offense at. Regardless, while Strahd may not be on the level of Asmodeus, he does control every aspect of this realm, and from the gothic ramparts of Castle Ravenloft, Strahd von Zarovich, Vampire Lord, surveys all. His spies are everywhere, and you would be smart to assume that he is already aware of your arrival. In fact, you may be here at his invitation. Volume 2 will explore this land, its notable locations and tragic history, Strahd's powers of undeath, and the cruel game he plays with the souls that wander into his domain. This is only the beginning of your journey, and there are many stories to tell and terrors yet to survive. But you have an ally in me, Quillen Inkwell. Unless you didn't bring Volume 2 with you. Great, now I've made this awkward. I guess a somber farewell and good luck would then be in order. Well, I wish you luck either way, my friend. May you avoid or survive the dread that is to come. That completes Volume 1 of our journey inside the mists of Ravenloft. I hope you'll join me for Volume 2, which will be dedicated to uncovering every scrap of lore available on the most popular of the domains of dread, Barovia. A special thank you to my YouTube channel members and my supporters over on Patreon, who through their generous support make this video possible. If you'd like to support my work, it's a win-win by joining my Patreon, where I have an ever-growing collection of DM and world-building resources. You can check it all out and join for free with no obligation. Links below. And finally, if you think I earned it, please like and subscribe. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember, the only limitation at your table is your imagination.